Live from Marion, Ohio, it's Friday night. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your hosts, Scott Spears and Bailey Hunt.
And live from Marion, Ohio, it's Friday night. Here we go on a Friday night.
That was the intro.
Friday Night Live.
Well, you didn't say anything. Oh, I thought we were talking about my day yesterday.
Right. Well, I was giving you
an intro. What's old?
A couple people I could think of. Let's talk about Thursday. Go ahead.
So, Thursday was such a lovely, lovely day. So, the first thing that happened was my youngest son, Austin, was upstairs. I was on my lunch break. We were upstairs, and we were both brushing our teeth. Well, I went downstairs because I had to go back to work. And he was still brushing his teeth. Well, Caden decided that he was going to leave and go to his cousin's house. And Austin wanted to go with him. And so Austin was upset and ran down the stairs, leaving the water on in the bathroom and nobody being upstairs. So, love him to death. But he flooded my bathroom. And I realized it when I'm sitting there and I have a fan blowing on me. And all of a sudden, I feel water, like, spraying on me, like someone standing behind me spraying me with, like, a water bottle or something. And so, I look back, and there's nobody, and I hear drip, 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 like, hitting the floor. And I'm like, what in the world is this? Like, what? And I look up, and my ceiling is, like, bowed and, like, coming down, and there's water pouring out of it, and I go upstairs, and my bathroom has about 3 inches of water. So that was fun. I had to clean that up, and then the ceiling ended up going down, and so now I get to fix that. Great. So, got it all cleaned up, thought everything was good, you know, and then Caden runs inside, and because him and Austin were outside riding bikes at this point, and Caden runs inside, like, scared to death, saying that he ran Austin's head over. He said, Austin wrecked his bike, and I hit his head. And I was like, wait, what? He said, I couldn't stop my bike. I was like, what do you mean? So I run out there, and Austin is laying on the ground screaming. His bike's on top of him, so I get him out, and I pick him up, and his ear's bleeding because his ear got caught in Caden's bike chain. So
that's rough.
That was the second incident. And then I go to the dollar store and get some Band-Aids because he scraped up his knee too. And, you know, I get him all cleaned up and go to the dollar store. And he asks me for bubble gum because he says bubble gum's going to make him feel better. So I, you know, go get him bubble gum, get Band-Aids. Everything's good. Go to the landlord's house, talk to them. And then I come out and it was like one of those bubble, like those tapes, like of bubble gum. And he had the whole thing stuck to the side of my car door. Chewed up.
That's rough.
And so I told Austin, I said, Austin, you're never allowed to have bubble gum again. I'm done. I was so mad. And so I proceed to drive to soccer and I realize that Austin has bubble gum all over his clothes, all over my car seat, all over the car door. I mean, it's everywhere. This whole 6-foot tape of bubblegum is all over my back seat. And I'm like, okay, Austin, you're on a roll tonight. And so he falls asleep on the way to soccer. I'm thinking, oh, this is great. I do my homework in the car, get everything. You know, I'm like, it's starting to turn around. And then I see Caden walking off the field. And I was like, oh, great. Practice isn't over yet. Why are you coming to my car? So apparently, he got kicked in the face or got hit in the face with a soccer ball. And it busted his braces.
All in one day. So how did that make you? How did you overcome that?
I didn't strangle any kids.
this is a good advice point. How do you overcome a day like that?
With the whole floor, like, flooding and everything, you know, I had to really because I was really upset and freaked out because I'm like, great, like, this is going to be more stuff I have to pay for. And then I was like, you know what? It was an accident. Like, he didn't mean to. He didn't do it on purpose. So I just had to really think about that, that it was an accident. And then the bike thing, obviously that was an accident. Like, there was no controlling that. He just got hurt. And then the gum thing, well, you're just not allowed to have gum anymore. Like, until you're five, but obviously you don't know to keep the gum in your mouth. And so until you learn that, you don't get gum. And, you know, or I'm going to have to give you a little bit at a time. You don't get to whole, you don't get to have the whole thing. And then, well, soccer, we're just going to have to buy a mouth guard. I thought that, you know, you don't use your face in soccer, so you didn't need a mouth guard, but apparently you do.
Apparently. Finding out yesterday. Well, you know, and this is the thing that, not just with you, but with everybody's having a little bit of a rough time lately. Ugh. Adjusting to life and adjusting to a lot of, matter of fact, bad financial situations that are going on because of closures of businesses and things of that nature. What is sad about it to me is that I'm not sure. You know, it's easy when you go along and everything's hunky-dory. Well, that's easy. You know, that's life. You do what you do. But when something catastrophic happens...
I just got a text from the neighbor kid's mom asking me to send him home, which is very concerning.
You're not there.
Because I'm not there and neither are my kids.
Uh-oh. Must be at somebody else's home. Hopefully he turns up.
That's not a text that you want to send a parent at 9:30 at night, that their child is not at your house like they thought.
Must have said the wrong name.
Yeah.
Hopefully that all turns out okay.
Yeah.
But people are in bad straits right now, and I guess the thing is that I don't know. What we're seeing is a lot of people's coping mechanisms coming into play, and I never thought people would cope this bad.
I cry.
I'm shocked that people cope this bad, because every, you know, human beings are programmed. I mean, we have problems. We all have problems. We can overcome our problems. We just have to figure out a way to do it. Mm-hmm. And some people are just not coping well at this particular point in time.
You've seen me cope.
I've seen you cope. And I'm not sure it's a coping, but it's there. Let's put it that way.
Oh, it's so rough.
It's there. Well, you know, the interesting thing is, we were talking about this during the break, and I think it's so true, that anytime you go to somebody, whether it's a moral help or financial help or just being somebody's relief, talk therapy, rock, being their rock, you go to people who you're close with. So I'm not really sure why people believe that in these times of desperation, that going to people you don't know for any kind of help is going to be a thing.
You know what I want?
What's that?
I want, like, a room in my house to be, like, filled with padded walls and a punching bag so I can just hit it as much as I want, and then it'll help me.
Well, yeah, I think one thing... I'll tell you, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, one thing that makes me not have anger and not have problem is that even in a terrible moment, like if I'm having a bad moment with somebody, or let's say somebody dies, or, you know, a bad moment, the thing that I always do, there's always something to look forward to. There's always tomorrow. There's always a chance to tackle it in a different way. There's always hope. And to me, that's how I go on. That's what I've learned in life. I've learned two things. Well, I've learned three things. Here's what I've learned about life, if anybody wants to know. The three things I know about life: you've got to have a purpose, and you've got to have a reason. And that's kind of what I'm talking about here. You've got to have a purpose, and you've got to have a reason. That's going to make you want to get up and continue. When you lose your purpose and reason, you just stay in bed all day. So you got to have that. Next thing, you've got to love something. It doesn't have to be a person. And you don't even have to tell people what it is. But you've got to love it.
I know what you love.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to love it unconditionally.
Me, of course.
That's right. Because it's always there. You know, it can be a person. It can be a person. It can be a thing. But you've got to love something. You've got to. Even if it doesn't love you back, that's very crucial. Even if it doesn't love you back, you've got to love it. And then the third thing is, you've got to believe in something higher than yourself. Mm-hmm. You cannot say, it all stops and starts with me. Now, I'm not saying you have to look to that thing to fix your problems. I think that's what people do, and that's a big problem.
You mean I can't be selfish?
Well, I just don't know that I think people try that, and that always ends badly.
I'm just kidding.
No, but you can call it whatever you want. I just think you have to believe in something higher than yourself. You can't believe that, you know, I believe in free will, but I think you've got to believe that I am not the greatest miraculous thing in the universe.
Right.
Right. But you can't also use that. You know, it's like when I'm in panic, well, then I got to ask for something. No, that ain't going to work.
Yeah.
So those are the things I know for sure. And I also know that the only way to love something is unconditionally. Because if you put conditions on it, what does that... Well, if you... Well, no. Mm-hmm. Can't do that. You just got to love it. And then... But, you know, why do... This is an interesting question. Love is always an interesting topic. Why do people feel the need... Oh, I hope this is a question.
Yeah.
Let's take it. Go ahead, caller.
Go ahead. Hello.
How are we doing tonight?
We're good. This is Pinot Grigio.
Pinot Grigio. Now, what are we having tonight with the Pinot Grigio?
Tonight, we had shrimp and grits.
Shrimp and grits.
And it was really good.
That's a southern thing.
And now, we're having whipped frozen custard with M&Ms.
Oh, delicious.
And it is good.
Now, how would you say the show is going tonight?
Very good.
Oh, good.
And what you were just talking about, you know, that I guess our three loves are Pinot Grigio, shrimp, you know.
So that's your wife.
And my wife.
And your wife. Don't forget the wife.
He's the one that I look up to.
Ah.
Thing is cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, you do. People are very... I think because you become vulnerable when you talk about love, but you do have to love something. You've got to. And you can't always qualify that love by if it loves you back. If it does, good. If it doesn't, who cares?
That's a bonus.
That's a bonus. You've got
it. We got a kick out of her telling that about her kids because, well, we have together, we have six kids. Of course, they're all adults now, but there's a lot of stories.
I bet there is.
I was going to tell her, wait till they're all teenagers. That's when the real fun starts.
I don't want that.
That's when the hair goes gray, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when they... Well, now, you're not leaving to go watch Gunsmoke anytime soon, are you?
My problem is that Gunsmoke doesn't come on till 11.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, in the world, I'm going to stay up that long.
Well, you're
something
probably...
I wanted to tell you. I wish I had told you this a few years ago.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, and my wife said to tell her it's okay to cry.
Ah,
thank you.
That's nice.
But at any rate, in 1964, my mom and dad had their 25th wedding anniversary. And appearing at the nightclub in Columbus, it was kind of a New York-style supper club downtown, right near the Capitol building, called Danny Deed's Merrimore, featuring Phyllis Diller. Now, I swear to God, my dad loved Phyllis Diller, and we took my mom and dad on their anniversary to see Phyllis Diller, and I'll never forget that.
Oh, I tell you, Phyllis Diller, for people who don't know her, Google her. She was so good to me over her career. She really, when I started in radio, she was one of the ones in the beginning who was a huge name, and she came on with me constantly. I was on her Christmas card list. I kept those Christmas cards. And I just, I loved that woman. And we had...
A lot of her focus in those days was Fang.
Her husband, yes.
Tell Fang stories, and just she was hilarious.
You know, my favorite Phyllis Diller joke is a Fang joke. You want to hear the joke?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the joke. Phyllis Diller used to... Now, remember, Fang is her imaginary husband.
Yeah.
She used to say, people came by and asked Fang to become a Jehovah's Witness, and he said he didn't see the accident.
Okay. Told one about she got too much to drink one night. She got home, climbed up, took all of her clothes off, and climbed up on the mantle and went to sleep. Thang got up the next morning and thought they had a new piece of driftwood.
You know, she also used to, it was, you know, Thang is so stupid. He said, Thang is so stupid, he looks at the obituaries every day and says, isn't it amazing how people die in alphabetical order?
Yeah.
And the thing I always tell people about Phyllis Diller, because she's been, I did the last interview with her, she's been gone 8 years now.
Okay.
Is that Phil, I did an interview with her a month before she died. She was 95. But Phyllis Diller, for everything everybody sees on television, saw on television of her, and knew of her on stage, she was everything and that and more in person. On the telephone, I would talk to her. Like I said, she put me on her Christmas card list. I would get a Christmas card every year. She was a brilliant painter as well as a comedian. On the cover of her Christmas card is... was a painting she had done, and then on the inside was some message about the holidays, and I was on her Christmas card list.
Wow, that's amazing.
Oh, and she was just, she would call and really give me very nice compliments that I probably didn't deserve at the time. She was so encouraging.
Yeah.
I love that woman.
A lot of the interviews.
Yeah,
she was from Lima, too.
Lima.
Fairly
and
close.
She always used to say, and people call it Lima, but you don't eat Lima beans, do you?
Exactly.
You eat Lima beans.
Lima.
Well, that's a great... I'm so glad you called in with that story, and I'm always so glad to know you're out there.
There's one more thing.
Go ahead.
I want to bring up.
Go ahead.
Something that in this city of 35,000-40,000 people, maybe I'm the only one that bothers. But if you have time tonight, when you get off the air, get in your car and drive out to Greenwood Street, and turn left and go back to Center. And then go down Center Street toward downtown. It looks like driving through a cemetery at night.
Oh.
I mean, the trees totally wipe out the streetlights. The trees totally wipe out the Trekka building, which they've lit up. It looks like a beautiful building, but it's completely hidden. You can't see the marquee of the palace till you get down almost to the county building. And that's just something that's always bugged me. It's so dark down there, and the street lights are just totally wiped out. I just wonder if I'm the only one that bothers, or it's something that, you know, if you had a business downtown, you don't want it hid, you know.
You know, it's interesting. Weird you bring that up. But here's a little, and I wish I could know, I don't know the name of the tree, but if you could ever find somebody who could tell you what kind of trees there are in Marion, just in general, when Marion was being put together, there was a certain type of tree that was planted, and they're beautiful trees, but they only live like 150 years or something like that, and then they start to look pretty rough. Even though they're still alive, they look not great, and that's what all these trees are in Marion, and they're rotten from the inside out, and that's what
we have one fairly close to our house, so I know what you're talking about. But
there's one over on.
Planted. I had a business downtown when they did streetscape back in the late 70s.
Yep.
That's when they planted all those trees and they put in those streetlights, which weren't very bright then. But the trees they planted then are too big now, I think. You know.
Yeah, it was a mistake.
They totally just block out everything downtown. Like I say, maybe I'm the only one that bothers. I don't know.
No, it's a common thing. It's very well known. Well, you know, I always appreciate. I can't wait to find out what you're having next week, and I look forward to the call. And I'm glad you're with us, because I'm glad Gunsmoke doesn't start till 11.
If I can stay awake that long. Well, at any rate, I just thought I'd bring that up. Maybe you bring it up on your morning show.
I will do that. Hey, stay out there, stay tuned, and call in anytime you like. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Cheers to the Pina Grigio couple out there. And it is true, and I think people like to hear these conversations. But yeah, just like he said, they love their Pina Grigio, loves his wife. You love it unconditionally. Now, there's an example of a thing and a person.
Yeah. Who do you love unconditionally?
You know, I'm not going to tell you. I can't say I don't know, because I do know. Because I live by those things. Those are my things. I have a purpose. that I don't necessarily tell people, but I do have a purpose every day that gets me out of bed. I do have a love, and I wouldn't necessarily, I don't know if it's unconditional or not, but it's there. And I do have a, I do believe in a high, power higher than myself. And I'm not going to get into that either because of religion and politics and trying to be very acentric on that as a news person. So I'm not going to tell people what those are, but I do have them.
Oh,
and yeah, I just don't wear that stuff on my sleeve. I don't tell people what my religious beliefs are. I don't tell people who I love. I don't tell people what I love. I don't tell people what my purpose is. But I have them all because that's the secret to life. That's what I've learned.
See, like, that's easy for me, though, because I can always say my kids.
Right, but I don't know. See, here's the thing. This is the rub to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an innate love. It's hard not to love your kids.
I mean...
Well, if you... Like, if I heard...
Well, yeah, you still love them unconditionally, though.
Right, but if I heard a parent say, I don't love my kids...
I mean, there are some.
Yeah, but I would look at them funny.
Yeah.
I would say, what? So it's having... Because your kids are not always... I'm trying to think of how you say this. When I don't think parents understand this till they get older, but you can just observe. When your kids become parents, you don't become so important anymore.
Right. No, I know that. And, like, that's totally cool. But, like, right now, they are what I...
Oh, like, when they're young, sure, because they need you.
Yeah.
But when they don't need you anymore, it's not that you don't love them.
Look, when they don't need me anymore, Austin will turn 18 when I'm 42, okay? Great, I can go live my life, travel, do whatever I want. It's fine.
I think we're on two different railroad tracks here.
No, I know. If they don't need me, it's cool. Like,
no, I'm not saying... Kids might always need you. Some do. All I'm saying is what I'm talking about, when I say... I always say, disqualify the people that you have to love. I mean, there are people in my life I have to love. But I would not qualify that as my unconditional love, because that's something I had to get. I had to get to that point. You know, you don't have to get there with your kids. You don't have to get there with your parents.
Some days. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying that is sort of...
Oh, that's false. With your parents?
Well, but you can hate your kids for some of the same reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying those are the things that you know, you call mom for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You call your kids for a reason. And no matter what they do, that is your relationship to them. You can't scrub it out. So you might not like what they do. You might not like what they did. You might not like some of their character traits. But they are that. You know, when you live and die, you always have to answer those questions. The other people in your life are choices.
Oh, dang it.
Darn.
I make some rough choices.
You make some rough choices. So the choices are the unconditionals, because that's when you can walk away from those people.
Look, you've chosen me.
Is
that's
that what
so
it is?
Sweet.
Well, it's interesting because I you know, you never know when it's going to happen on this show, because I am highly anti-marriage and I am highly what?
What are you doing?
I'm telling a story.
Oh.
I am highly anti... Well, I've told this story to you.
Oh, okay.
You listen to the morning show.
Yeah.
Don't sound surprised. I am highly anti-marriage, and I am highly anti anything to do with that.
Yes.
But I think that's only for people under the age of 40, because I think too much stuff has come in. People can get married if they want. I don't care.
What if, like, one person's, like, in their 40s and one's in their 20s?
Problem. Problem. Because same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a problem. I'm not saying some people can't make it work.
I'm just asking.
I'm just saying it could be a problem unless it's the right mixture.
Yeah.
And you know it when you see it. You know it when you feel it. You can say a lot of things, but you know it when you feel it. But my point is, people have heard me talk on the air about my goal in life in the 80th year of broadcasting in Marion is to... I want to adjust this a little bit. It's either to propose or be proposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But people have to understand...
You're going to say no.
Well, then I'm not necessarily... Yeah, you're right. I'm not necessarily going to say yes. But it's... In the 80-year history of Marion, it will always be a first. Because nobody's ever went there. I think we've done everything else. But that will always be a first.
Well, if you keep talking about it, someone else is going to steal the idea.
Well, no, because but you've got to be genuine in it. Mm-hmm. You can't do it just to do it.
Oh, well, yeah.
You've got to do it with the intent, even though you get a no. But my contention, the reason I bring this up is that...
Do you want to get married, Scott?
Not really.
Oh.
Was that a proposal? I don't know. That sounded like a question. The point is that you have to be sincere about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's not true. It's baloney.
I'm laughing so hard I'm crying.
Well, good. But
maybe it's sweat. It's really hot in here.
Is it sweat? But in any event, the point of it is I contend that you don't have to get married just because you get engaged.
Some people just want the ring.
Well, I don't even know that there has to be a ring.
Oh, I want a ring.
There might be a ring. But I'm just saying, it would not be like, let's get engaged and then let's set a date. No, 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 no.
If I'm getting engaged, I at least want a ring.
Well, I don't know.
Are you dropping stuff over there?
No, I just touched the cup. But no, I don't know. I mean, a ring, I guess, would not be a bad thing. I guess that's doable.
I just want the shiny.
I mean, I you know, it's weird because I was listening to a story about the Hope Diamond today, and I was thinking about, you know, diamonds, and that's usually what an engagement ring is. But I guess the ring would be okay. The problem that I would have is the date. Mm-hmm. I don't want to set a date.
Yeah.
I don't want to start planning it. If it happens, okay. I'm okay with that. But that's the goal before December.
Okay.
Yeah. So... That, but to me, the reason I'm bringing this up is the unconditional love.
You got like 5 months.
Yeah, if it doesn't happen, that's okay. Because it's probably going to be hard for me to find somebody that I can stand in 5 months that I really want to propose to. But...
I mean, I know some people.
That I would propose to?
Mm-hmm.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
I'm not going to say.
Well, I know you're wrong about this, though.
Okay.
Because there are people I would not... there's nobody I would propose to right now.
Okay. I'm not
really?
Saying right this second.
No. Down the road?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
You don't even know who I'm talking about.
But I'm thinking of people it could possibly be, and there's nobody popping into my mind.
Okay.
Okay. In any event, but, you know, I don't know. If somebody proposed to me the backwards way, I don't know what I would say.
Do you expect a ring?
No.
Okay.
No, no, because I don't wear jewelry. I wear a watch, and that's it.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't do rings. I think rings on a man are sort of strange.
My ex-husband never wore a ring.
Hence the word ex. But no, I don't want to wear a ring.
Until he found out that I wanted to leave, and then he started wearing it.
See, I just don't care. But see, I think I would be that way in a marriage, too, and that's awful. Is that if the person wanted to leave, I'd be like, hey, bye-bye.
Peace out.
Enjoy.
Peace out, homegirl.
Well, don't you have to understand at some point, this is what I think is self-confidence. Self-confidence is the ability to say, if you don't choose me, that's on you.
Yeah.
See, if you take the blame, which everybody always does, then you're going to feel it. You don't want that.
No, I agree.
You got to say it's their fault. Why'd you do? You made a bad choice.
Just blame everybody else.
Well, because if you know you're a good person... And you know that you are a viable person, then why would you not be the choice?
But some people think that they're good, and they're not.
Well, you got to know why you're good.
Right, but I mean, some people genuinely think that they're good. Like, they don't realize that they're not good.
Well, see, this comes back to the conversation I've been having also on the morning show, is, and I hate to use the word loser or failure, but I have come to believe in my psychological and sociological aspects of life, that some people are just born to fail.
Yeah.
But they don't get that, just like you're saying. They don't get that they're repeating circles.
Yeah.
They're repeating patterns. They should, because they always get the same result. They should notice that they're causing problems, but they don't. And I feel bad for those people, because nobody has to be a failure in life. Because you know what? Failure is not based upon money. Failure is based upon happiness. And if you're not happy, it's sad.
I agree. Oh, my. It is, like...
You're the one who hates the cold.
I know, and I am sweating. Like, why? And I have a tank top on.
Yeah.
It's not even, like...
This is not as hot as it's been in here.
Oh.
What do you think's causing the hot flash tonight?
I don't know. Maybe it's the half a pizza I ate.
I don't know. All I know is one day I just hope good people get good sense and good sense comes to good people.
Yeah. That was confusing but good.
Well, not really, because if you have bad sense and you're a good person, you still might do bad things.
Oh.
But if you have good sense and you're a good person, you're better off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just like to go with the flow.
That's fun.
But which is a total lie, because you know that I have to have everything planned.
Right,
out.
Right. Which, yeah, that's the catch 22 of life with you. Just doing things.
Oh, I know.
Because you will say that you like spur of the moment and you like to go with the flow.
I hate surprises.
Right, but yet you don't.
Oh. Yeah.
So it becomes an anomaly of problem.
Yeah. I hate surprises. I hate not having a plan. Like, I need everything to be planned out. I need to know what I'm doing every minute of every day. And that's it.
But don't you... I mean, no. I really do believe... No, listen. Don't you believe that if you change a sequence... It's just like if you are driving down the road. If you take one wrong street, you can screw up your whole trip. Don't you think one wrong move in life can cause a cataclysmic...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Problem.
But that's why I like to have a plan.
Right, but also one spontaneous move can cause a change for the better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many people get up in the morning and they win the lotto?
Ugh, not you know, me.
But they wouldn't expect. It's not something you plan, but it's a spontaneous act.
Yeah, but if I plan to buy a lottery ticket, then that's like a, you know.
Right, but you don't plan to win.
Right. But.
And if you do, hey, you hit the lotto. And that, a lot of people use that term when something good happens to you. They say you hit the lotto. And sometimes you do. I can think of certain things that people have done.
I do not. I feel like my hit the lotto days are, it's like a tornado. Like when everything bad happens, and it always happens on one day.
You know, but well, that's not hitting the lotto then. That's a bad thing.
I know. It's like the opposite. What's the opposite?
A wreck? Train wreck?
My life's a train wreck.
Well, here's the thing, you know, and I'm not saying your life's a train wreck, but I'm saying if
but we know it is.
Well, here's what I would say. If your life is a train wreck, this is hard for people to understand. Because people, again, always think they're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to convince them that they're not. If your life is a train wreck, something is wrong.
I need someone to be my life coach. Not you.
Oh, I don't want to be. I don't...
I need someone to just come in and be like, look, this is what you're messing up.
Well, it's not hard to figure out people's problems.
Make me a schedule.
No, it's interesting because it really isn't hard to figure out people's problems if you look at them.
If anybody wants to volunteer to follow me around for a week... And, like, figure my life out.
Now, why
out.
Are you so deadly against me being the life coach? I don't want it, but, I mean, why would you jump out at me and say that I should not be the life coach?
Because, like, first of all, you already know my life.
And I, yeah.
Yeah. But, no, I just need someone that, like, doesn't know me, that can just, you know, not say one way or the other. Because I'll never, like, know, because we're besties. Like, I'll never know, you know, if you're saying it. Because you want, like, because you really think I'm doing something wrong, or, like, you know, I don't know.
I know,
like,
what you're trying to say.
Just, like, without bias. Like,
I don't have any bias.
I know, you say that, but I need someone, because there's stuff that you don't tell me because you think it'll hurt my feelings.
Yeah, but that's not out of bias.
It doesn't matter. I need someone to be completely honest, tell me the stuff that's going to hurt my feelings. And I don't think you can do that, because I know you can't do that, because there's stuff that you don't tell me because you know it'll hurt
my
feelings.
I can't tell you the stuff that would hurt you. No, I could. But here's why.
You can't.
No, here's why I don't. I don't tell you the stuff that's going to hurt your feelings because I believe you think it will have a bias that you think I'm saying.
No, but I know that. I know it won't. It's just, like, I need you to just, like, tell me everything.
No, I mean, it's easy. I mean, and I'm not talking directly about you, but we can talk directly about... I'm not going to tell you on air what your problems are, but I'm going to say that it is easy to see that when somebody is very upset and having a very hard time in life, it's usually not the daily things. Like, okay, for example, yesterday. You just told everybody everything that happened yesterday. Okay, you're upset because the ceiling caved in. You're upset because the ear got hurt. You're upset because the braces,
bubblegum
braces got. That's not really what you're upset about. Yes, those are not pleasant things, but it's because you're in the midst of turmoil yourself that those things matter a whole lot more. If everything was hunky dory, those would not be as big a deals.
Right.
They just wouldn't. So you have to.
Like I said, I need someone to just volunteer to follow me around for a
week.
Well, let me give you. Volunteer because I can't pay them.
Well, let me give you. This is the best advice. And for anybody listening, this is the best advice to fix. If you would define your life as a train wreck, here's how you do it. It's not the events that are happening that you think are making you upset, like the ceiling caves in and you start to cry. That's not the problem. The problem is that you were already primed to cry. So what you figure out is, why is life not happy? Why is my life in general not happy?
Because I'm poor.
Well, no, but why are you poor? You look to the situations.
Because I'm a single mom.
No, because yes. There are single moms that are doing okay.
Yes, but my job is not, like, I don't make enough.
Oh, so then you look at that and you say, why am I at this job? Why am I in this position? Where was I when I had these kids? Why am I in this position now? There are all kinds of things to analyze that people don't want to analyze. But that's okay. Because in the end, you know, again, good people will get good sense and good people will get bad sense. The trick is always go back to the originals. What do you love unconditionally? And figure that out. It takes honesty a while to figure that out. What do you love unconditionally? What is the higher purpose in life? And what is the higher being than yourself? And if you can get to those three things, your life really can change. You one day, it'll be different. You'll wake up and all of a sudden, you're not upset. You don't wake up with that weight on your chest. You know, that weight on a lot of people's chest is their life.
I thought that was just my weighted blanket.
Is that what it is? Weighted blanket. But it is, you know, and I feel bad for that because I wish that people could get to the happy. Get to the happy in their life.
Yeah.
Some will, some won't. Such is life.
Oh well.
That's right, oh well. Who cares?
Yeah. It happens.
I sleep good at night. What the heck do I care?
Well, that's good.
So, in the final 5 minutes, what have you learned tonight? We'll just go back and recap.
That it's hot in here. What is the temperature?
I don't know. 82?
Oh, my word.
But you like the hot. You started off by saying you don't want a cold Christmas.
Yeah. Like outside.
Oh, okay.
Not inside. It's burning up in here.
Okay.
Oh, usually I'm cold. I also know that my ear hurts.
What did you do to your ear?
I don't know. It's like this headphone.
I don't know. You know, I think this has been an interesting show. Yeah. I think people who listen back to it will pick up a lot of good information.
I still want to give advice.
But I don't know that you're the person to give advice now that we've went through this.
Oh, I am. I can help anybody else with their train wrecks.
What do you think people... Well, you tell. What do you think people's problems are?
I don't know.
What do you think my problem is?
You don't have a problem.
I really don't. I wish I did.
Oh.
I wish I was more complex.
Yeah. You know, honestly, though, like, people have told me, they're like, your life could be, like, a reality TV show. It's like every day something else.
But isn't it all just... I mean, isn't everything by design... You know, the reason my life is low stress and low energy, I think was choices I made. I mean, I look back on it now, and there were some really rotten choices that I could have made that at the time I thought would have been the right choice, but clearly they were not the right choice.
Right. I don't know. I need, like I said, I need a life coach.
Well, good luck with that. Because it's...
But I need someone to volunteer because I cannot pay them.
Well, find a good one. Because you got to find somebody who knows what they're talking about.
If anybody wants to volunteer.
Look at those
volunteers. Send me a message.
Check the records before they start life coaching.
Send me a message on Facebook. Call into the
studio. No, don't do that. You're going to get a mess of weirdos. Anybody who would message somebody saying they would be their life coach is a weirdo. Remember that. This is a person who needs a life coach themselves.
I definitely do. It's okay. I've just come to terms with it.
And that's good. That is the best thing that can happen. When you come to but you can't then go back and say, oh, this is awful. If you've come to terms, you've come to terms.
Yeah. I'm just going to stop talking about it. Maybe it'll just go away.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works, but it's a good idea.
I think so.
You try anything, man. And that's how we go with the flow. You just go with the flow of life and see what happens.
Yep.
That is how I lead my life. You know, it's very strange because in a way my life is sort of structured in as things I've got to do. But most things are go with the flow.
As long as I don't end up abducted and missing, I'm good. It's a good day.
That's the only bad thing that could happen to you. You don't have any other awfuls. Or murdered. I don't know. And also, by the way, something else with the last 2 minutes. You've got to count the blessings in your life. And I'm not talking for people out there who are anti-religion. I'm not talking about religious things here. The blessings in your life that sometimes we don't pay attention to are usually people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not usually events. They're people who come into your life who you don't really get why they did such a thing, why they made such a change, but they did. That's, you know, figure that out. And when you figure that out, you'll be a lot happier.
Yeah.
And there are people who do that. And then there are people who come in your life who bring nothing but turmoil and disaster and years of trouble.
Not me.
What? That's not you for certain people. Now for me,
I still have this pizza and Coke. Not as much.
Well, you know, all I know is that I was trying to, you know, there have been such great people. I was thinking about Phyllis Diller. How did that happen?
That was nice.
Well, I just look back on that now. You know, she's been gone 8 years. But when I came in, why did that happen? Why did she take a liking to me?
Because you don't take no for an answer.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, that's not in real life.
No, in real life, you're too afraid to ask any questions.
Or
call people or do anything.
Well, I'm not nosy in real. I am nosy, but I'm not.
I was like, really?
Yeah,
really?
I'm nosy, but I'm not persistent.
No,
I'm not persistent. Like I would, that guy who was at the door at Thanksgiving banging on the, no, that would never be me.
I know.
No.
You won't even call me.
No, I won't even call somebody.
You've called me one time.
Yeah, I can't do that.
You thought I was like losing my mind.
I will never be that guy in a movie who is sending flowers and doing, you know, my favorite movie that I've never seen, Notting Hill. That will never be me because I can't muster up the general feeling to like somebody that much that I'm willing to go stand outside their door or try to convince them to like me. I can't do that.
Oh, boy. That's rough.
It is a rough thing.
Yeah.
But whatever. This has been a good show.
It has.
I hope everybody has a great, great weekend. We'll talk to you again next Friday night. Enjoy yourself. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Fun. I made sure to tape it.
Well, isn't that something? Where are you from originally?
I'm right here in Ohio.
Where? No, I mean, you weren't born where you're working now, or were you?
Do you work for the Internal Revenue Service or something?
I refuse to answer on the grounds.
Yes, I was born right here, Charles. I never went anywhere.